Jimmy White, you're very welcome back to Killarney and back to Kerry. You're well familiar with the place here, of course.
Very much so. I've played in Glen Eagles on many occasion, and I've been to Killarney to play exhibitions. And I'm so pleased that going back in time when we had Goffs, when we had the Masters at Goffs, it was one of the snooker players' most favourite tournament. There were three in the calendar, which was the London Masters, the Irish Masters and the World Championships. And that got pulled, and then we went to City West, and then we lost that there. So we haven't had a snooker tournament in Ireland for about maybe 5-6 years. So when I heard that the World Series is coming here, I was absolutely delighted.
How important is this World Series now in the overall picture?
Well, what it is that we're trying to... The guys who are running the World Series are trying to promote the game, and we're going to countries where Eurosport have been following snooker for about 6 or 7 years. It's become very popular in Germany, very popular in Poland and Portugal. So we're going to the places where snooker's fresh, and the only way to do that is to take a tournament there.
Now, you mentioned about tournaments being on the various venues. There's talk I was reading in the news about they're taking the World Championship out of the Crucible and taking it out far, maybe to Beijing and maybe out to other countries. Now, you're a man, of course, that participated in 6 World Finals. What would your view be, Jimmy, of taking it out of the Crucible?
You cannot do. It's called the Crucible Theatre, and the World Championships comes down to theatre as well as fantastic skills, strength of mind, personalities, but you do have you do have certain things that should be left in sport, you know, like the derby should always be at Epsom, Wimbledon, the tennis, you know, and snooker, unfortunately for the Crucible, it only holds 1,000. That's the problem we have. But it should always, as far as I'm concerned, I will fight tooth and nail for it to be kept at the Crucible.
A lot of talk that snooker has gone through fairly tough times at the moment. Ronnie O'Sullivan was quoted in the paper. I spoke to Kim Doherty there a while ago. What's your view on the way things are going at the moment, Jimmy? Is snooker on the down at the moment?
No, I don't think so, because I do the exhibition circuit, as me and your good self met in a pub many years ago. I was playing upstairs. I do many... I played Steve Davis last week in Scotland, and 2 weeks before that was actually in this very hotel playing Stephen Hendry in the area. So, you know, snooker's just as popular. I don't think snooker's in trouble at all. I think then the WSA needs to get their affairs in order. You need to have a regular calendar. So, you know, if you want to go and watch a sporting event next year, you basically know when it's on. With snooker, we don't have that at the moment. So it just needs to get its affairs in order. But as far as the game is concerned, it's in good shape.
You're probably, I suppose, tired of being asked and to talk about. You were runner-up in 6 Worlds. Gee, that was an enormous amount of World finals to get to for a start, Jimmy, and well done. But to lose the 6 of them then, does that still gripe with you? Does it come up continuously? And do people still say, Jimmy, what happened?
Well, you know, at the moment, I'm the greatest player never to win the World Championships. I've been to 6 finals. I've won 10 ranking tournaments. I've run 37 invitation tournaments. I've had a 147. But the tournament that I've not won yet is the World Championships. But I still believe that my game is good enough. Obviously, the players are a lot better now. And I just lost 10-8 to Andy Hicks, who then lost to Rory McLeod, who's at the Crucible. So it literally is coming down to a few frames and a few shots. But I still believe my A game is just as dangerous, and I still have the belief in my art. Otherwise, I wouldn't play snooker. I'd go and play bad golf.
What was it like growing up in Tooting in London? What kind of a district does that explain to us?
Well, it's a bit... It's not the greatest place in the world. The people are very friendly. When I was a kid, you used to have a key on a piece of string, you know, the front door key. You know, the doors were open. You know, we was a very working-class family, but the community was good, and if there was any bad apples around, you know, people used to find out themselves who there was.
I'm not going to the Leo because you're in a bit of a rush, but a lot of people when they knew that I was going to meet you, you had a fascinating article in the Sunday Tribune here in Ireland lately. And part of the article was you had an illness, Jimmy, and a lot of people said to ask you about it because it would be of benefit to other people.
Yes, I had testicle cancer. I had it 10 years ago, and I found a small lump on one of my testicles, and I felt it, and I went to my doctor's, and straight away he sent me to the hospital, and I was operated on the next day. Unfortunately, men have a bad stigma about when they find something, a lump or something, they seem to think it's going to go away, and they don't get it checked out straight away. And testicle cancer has got quite a good success rate in cancer, so they must get it checked out straight away. You'll find that most women, if they have anything abnormal, they get it done straight away. Men, especially young boys, they have this funny stigma about it, so they must get it checked out. Anything that's abnormal is to get it checked out straight away.
Men, as you said, and maybe boys would be slow to do such a thing.
Very much so.
And is that a problem? But you'd be kind of an icon in that respect.
Yeah.
People now would look up to Jimmy White in relation to what we're speaking about.
Well, we done the Everyman campaign, and there was all sorts of sportsmen who's had it, quite a lot that you wouldn't even know. And the message is to check it out and get and that's to get rid of it, because if you don't, it can get to a place where they can't sort it out.
Finally, last question, and I was fascinated to read in the very same interview about your brother dying.
Yeah.
And you being in the pub and you bringing him for a ride in the taxi.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story, Jimmy. Tell us what.
Well, it was a bad thing to do, but at the time to do it, we lost my brother very young, and me and my sister and my other two brothers were a very strange family. We're a very close family.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the pub the night before we're burying him. And we went to give a couple of £1,000 to the pub so that people didn't have to buy a drink. And we started having a few drinks. And I just said to my brothers and my sister, let's go and see him. We've seen him already in the day. And we went there, and obviously it's about 11 o'clock at night. We broke the door down. Well, I didn't. It was a big chain, God's my witness. And I kicked it, and the chain opened, and we led straight to the door in the pitch black. And I just asked, it was all very, very, lots of crying going on, screaming.
Of course, yes, yeah.
No one there in the funeral parlour at all. So it was actually broken into the funeral parlour.
Yeah.
But we didn't climb any fences, I mean, the doors, once the rain door, though.
Yeah.
And we took him in a taxi, we took him to all our houses, and we went and put him back. And the police were there and everything, and they just said, just put him back, just forget about it.
What did the taxi driver say?
It doesn't look very well.
Yeah. Jimmy, listen to me. It was lovely talking to you. And it was always lovely to see you come to Killarney, and we look forward to seeing you here.
Thank you very much. God bless you.